More college students than ever before are reporting feelings of anxiety or depression. There's a plethora of reasons, ranging from being away from home for the first time, financial challenges, even relationship issues. What's seen as a good sign, though, is that the students are more willing to talk about the challenges and seek help. But are the colleges and universities providing students the help they need? With me to talk about that is Victor Schwartz, Chief Medical Officer at the Jed Foundation. It's a nonprofit that focuses on protecting the emotional health of teens and young adults. Victor, first, how would you generally assess the mental health of college students right now and whether that's changed in recent years?
Well, there seem to be two things going on. The good news, and actually there are two small different pieces of good news, is that young people seem to be more prepared and more open to reaching out for help when they're in trouble. So asking for help, telling people that they're needing support is something we've really actually seen great progress in the last 10 years. So some of what we're seeing on college campuses with increases of students reaching out, asking for mental health support might be a piece of that good news. The other positive piece of this is that colleges in many cases have done a good job really paying attention to the Americans with Disabilities Act and their, you know, if you will, ethical responsibility to take a diverse group of students and even students who may have health and mental health challenges. So I think there's more opportunity for people who've had mental health problems to be on campus. That said, nationwide, we seem to be seeing in really across age populations, but this is true of the college population as well, increasing rates of anxiety. Anxiety is now more common than depression among college students as a complaint, but both of them seem to be increasing nationally, both in the general population and in college students. We're seeing increases in suicidal thoughts and suicidal behaviors. And that seems to have shifted in the last 10 years or so, the issues around suicidality.
Let me come back to anxiety briefly, though. Have there been studies? Has there been research looking into whether the types of anxieties are the same, or are they different based on what they're seeing in the world?
Well, so it's hard to answer that question because anxiety is a somewhat subjective experience. We are, again, seeing people who are subjectively saying that they're having more problems with anxiety. The American College Health Association twice a year surveys between 40 and 80,000 university students. The number of students who are saying that they were so stressed at some point in the prior year that it was difficult to function has clearly been going up. So there does seem to be something happening. And again, it's hard to exactly say what type of anxiety it is, but it seems as if the absolute amount of anxiety is increasing in the population. We don't know exactly why that is. Some people, you know, think that social media may have a contribution to, as maybe contributing to this. But there are other things. I mean, uncertainty about career and job prospects. Some of this seemed to have also shifted. And again, historically, it's hard to tell because at the same time that social media was becoming more popular, we had the economic setback of the late 2000s. But young people now are finishing off in college with significant debt and with a greater amount of uncertainty about what future career prospects hold for them.
So what are schools and universities doing generally? Are they getting more actively involved? Does it vary from university to university?
Well, so I think nationwide there has been a trend even over the last, 15 or 20 years as services have more and more shifted to campus. And this is actually something we haven't touched on yet, which is, one of the reasons campuses have picked up a lot of the clinical slack and are providing more clinical services on site is that in many places of the country, we really don't have adequate access to mental health services in general. So there was recently data put out, but it was reported in the Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry Journal that 20% of the teens and children in the United States live in a county that doesn't have a child psychiatrist. So, more and more, the counseling services are providing a broader, more comprehensive array of services, both because of the lack of resources in the community and, the good value and good judgment entailed in providing the services closer to school. Schools are thinking more and more about how do you promote resilience and protective factors. So how do you promote positive social connections, teach life skills to students in settings and, you know, related to student affairs and student activities? How do you provide academic support and career support that is sensitive to cultural and health and mental health factors? So, you know, colleges have really made significant movement forward. They've expanded their clinical services and the other kinds of softer support services around the clinical services as well.
When you mention softer, perhaps this doesn't apply, but there's been discussion as well, this applies to different areas of our lives, to have other people get some sort of training, whether they're professors or RAs or advisors that aren't officially trained as psychiatrists or psychologists, but can offer that. Is that something that is being offered more? Is it something that you would think was a good idea?
The answer to both is yes, it's a good idea, and it is being offered more in a lot of different platforms. And, you know, if you think about it, for students who've gone away from home to go to college, which is not everybody, but is a significant number, you know, to some extent, the school now becomes their source of kind of human services and their social supports. And you'd hope that in a structure like that, the people who are interacting with young people who may be away from home for the first time and may be somewhat vulnerable would be sensitive to, you know, any kind of psychological risk or health risk for that matter as well. And be able to, you know, feel it's their responsibility, part of their position to notice if they're getting into trouble and understand how to make a referral. And, you know, and provide basic levels of support.
Victor Schwartz is Chief Medical Officer at the Jed Foundation.